WABC New York and 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bays.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, traffic, Justin Ellick, sports, and now.
Talking the news with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me, 5 o'clock. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Mix of sun and clouds today. Going to be really windy. Wind gusts could be as high as 40 miles per hour. The high today, 51. Tonight and overnight, clear, low 41. And then Tuesday, sunshine, high 63. The rest of the week's going to be really nice. If you are walking out the door with us right now, 33 and partly cloudy in Muncie up in Rockland County, 34 partly cloudy in Wanacue down in New Jersey, and it is 35 and partly cloudy outside our Midtown studios right now. So much to get to as we work our way up. 6 o'clock hour. Sid and friends in the morning. The National Weather Service has issued this high wind advisory for the tri-state that's going to last all day today. I saw my umbrella from my picnic table in the backyard. That got knocked over. Looked like it was going to fly away. And there's like tons of weight holding this thing down. That tells you how windy it was yesterday. So it's in effect from until about 11 o'clock tonight. Winds will be about 25 to 35 miles per hour, but the gusts could go as high as 40 miles per hour.
Dressing warmly and making sure everything is nailed down, like my trash can and garbage or any tools that are outside. I'm like, yeah, making sure it's put away.
Yeah, it's a woman up in the Bronx getting ready. Officials urge you to be cautious when outdoors. And of course, if you do have stuff like on your patio, your porch, or you have, like me, your umbrella in your backyard, you might want to like throw that onto the ground under a piece of furniture or something like that, or just bring it in because it's going to be awfully windy today. And then, of course, daylight savings time is here. It's savings or saving? I think it's saving. Is it saving? We've had that argument already? Okay. It's daylight saving time, as I'm being told. So why do we move forward? I've always asked this question, and John Fink apparently says he has an answer.
It's time for daylight saving time.
Oh, my God. Okay, no, I can't listen to that guy. That was just the beginning there threw me off. I'm going to get the information for you before the hour is out. I mean, I understand why we do it, but why do we keep doing it? That's what I thought I was going to get an answer there. But just that was such a freaky beginning to a story that I didn't want to hear the end of
it. It's time for daylight saving time.
Okay. The New Jersey Department of Education did not reverse that Camden High School controversial victory in the semifinal basketball game last week against Manasquan. If you haven't followed this story, boy, this story went national awfully quickly. Manasquan High School, which is in New Jersey, beat Camden High with a buzzer beater. There was like 0.5 seconds left in this semifinal game that was leading to the state championship game. And there was video of it afterwards, and the refs on the court said that the ball had left his hands too late, and so they gave Camden the victory, even though it was clear that Manasquan had won this game. And so, of course, the Manasquan High School students were incredibly disappointed. They took it to court, actually, to stop this past Saturday's championship game to see if they could get the state sports authority that looks over high school sports to look at the game and overrule it. But they did not. And so, as you might guess, the students at Manasquan felt like they had been cheated.
They're heartbroken. I mean, it would have been one of the biggest upsets in New Jersey.
We got absolutely robbed. We should be playing tomorrow.
It's really upsetting because our teams worked so hard to get to where they were today.
Yeah, so those were some of the fans. Now, I thought this was kind of a classy move. The Manasquan boys basketball team took it to court. They lost. Basically, they were going to take it to the state Supreme Court, decided not to do that. So on Saturday's game, when Camden was playing in the championship game, the Manasquan boys basketball team was in the stands to root for Camden High School. I thought a classy move after losing a battle that they should have won. Camden won, by the way. They won the state championship on Saturday. George Santos telling Sid, actually, on Sid and Friends in the Morning on Friday that he wants to primary fellow Republican Nick LaLota out on Long Island because he says the Long Island congressman is just too weak. Maybe you missed part of this interview. A lot of reaction to it over the weekend.
Definitely challenging Nick LaLota. Next week, my campaign revs up, and we're going to give him hell because when you compare my record to his, He is a Democrat in disguise.
Yeah, so lots of Republicans, especially the ones on Long Island, just wish George Santos would go away. He was detailing his plan all weekend long to take the first district seat this fall.
He is a horrible candidate. He's a horrible member. He is an establishment shill, an empty suit. He stands for nothing. He has accomplished nothing.
That's him talking about Nick LaLota. Now, Nick LaLota was instrumental in getting George Santos booted from Congress back in December. Of course, he's got all this charges of taking campaign cash and using it on himself for fancy clothes, vacations, all kinds of things. He's got a trial that's coming up in September. You had Congressman Peter King responding to George Santos over the weekend.
The man has no shame, and either he's psychotic or he's evil, or maybe both.
Okay. Santos says that he's going to run in this different district. So he ran in the third district and won, of course, and then was booted. So now he wants to run in the first district. Meantime, he faces this 23-count federal indictment, including charges of campaign finance fraud and identity theft. The primary is June 25th, which is before the September trial that's set to take place. So, of course, we'll follow this story. And while we're talking about D.C. politics, a man in custody now after he was caught trying to enter the U.S. Capitol building with a hammer. Well, that's nice.
U.S. Capitol Police say Christopher Snow was going through security at the Visitor's Center on Friday when the hammer was discovered inside his backpack. Officers say Snow attempted to grab the bag and became combative when they tried to look inside. They say there was a struggle which led to officers using a taser on Snow before arresting him. I'm Brian Shook.
And no doubt you probably, if you have somebody who's into royal watching, you saw this photo that was shared by Princess Kate and Prince William on their official Twitter account over the weekend that showed the Princess of Wales surrounded by her kids, thanking the public for their support in the months that she underwent abdominal surgery, and wishing moms in the United Kingdom a happy Mother's Day alongside a photo showing her with her three young children. In the photo, she looks great. Well, now the AP and AFP and Getty Images, Reuters, all putting this photo down, pulling it down off their news websites because they say it was heavily edited. And they say they realized it was heavily edited because her hand looked strange in this photo. And they said that for that reason, they could no longer confirm that it was a legit photo that the palace had put out. So that photo taken down for that reason, the Palace, Kensington Palace, declining to comment. There's been so many people asking about how she's doing since she's had that surgery. We haven't seen her. Now that that photo's been taken down, lots more controversy. We'll get into more of that story as the morning wears on as well. WABC News Time 5:09. We got some good news, thankfully, about this Hamilton Township, New Jersey police officer who was shot over the weekend while responding to a domestic violent incident. This was on Friday. He showed up at this family house. The person inside the house began firing at the police officers. The police officers fired back. One of these officers took a bullet. We're getting the news now that he is in stable condition after undergoing surgery over the weekend. So that's good news. A neighbor tells us what she knows about this shooting.
We were laying in bed last night. We heard gunshots, and that's when the cops came. They walked in the door and said, I don't even know if they walked in the door, but they said, you know, how's everything tonight? What's going on? And that's when he had opened fire on the cop, and the cops fired back at him.
Yeah, so we reached out to cops for more information, but they referred us to the Attorney General's office, who's now investigating the incident. They did not release any additional information on the shooting, except to say, thankfully, that Hamilton Township police officer is going to recover. Spring break, it starts for a lot of college kids this week. And as we've been telling you over the last week or so, Miami and Fort Lauderdale have made it very clear they no longer want the spring break students coming to their towns because it's just been chaos. But over the weekend, a ton of students did show up because they'd already bought their tickets and booked their hotels. Over the weekend also, I thought this was interesting. Florida made it very clear that they're having this measles epidemic. And they also were warning college students, hey, if you come here, you might get the measles.
If you're not fully immunized and you're exposed to someone with measles, 9 out of 10 people will get it. It's one of the most transmissible diseases that we know.
Yeah, so these doctors were saying, hey, measles is raging in Florida. Miami doesn't want you. Neither does Fort Lauderdale, so stay away.
Even after a person infected with measles leaves an area, there can still be infectious particles suspended in the air for up to 2 hours.
Yeah, that's right.
It does take about 2 weeks for the vaccine to reach effectiveness because your body has to generate the antibodies.
Yeah, but we were watching over the weekend. Spring breakers showed up in Florida. The party animal antics were there on the beach. Lots of booze, lots of dancing on the beach, streets closed down. You had these proposals that went through that they were going to charge all kinds of money for parking cars on the street. People were going to be arrested. The police were out in force. But from what we can tell, the partiers, the beer bongs, the drinking is the beer pong, all those games that college students play when they go to spring break. That's all underway from what we could tell in both places, Miami and Fort Lauderdale, over the weekend. 512, the Department of Justice investigating now the door plug blowout incident on that Alaska Airlines flight. Aviation expert John Cox on where things stand right now in this investigation.
They're going to look pretty seriously at, is this a one-off or is this systemic?
You'll remember that was the story where the door blew off on that Alaska Airlines flight after takeoff. So Wall Street Journal reporting today that DOJ has opened a criminal investigation. Federal prosecutors have interviewed now flight attendants and pilots who were aboard that plane in January. That plane's fuselage, or the door plug as it's called, detached a few minutes after takeoff. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. The U.S. Department of Justice Special Counsel Robert Hur now set to testify before a Republican-led House panel on Tuesday.
Hur was asked by members of the Republican-led House to investigate President Joe Biden's handling of classified documents, though ultimately declined to bring any criminal charges against the president, saying the facts stopped short of finding that Biden had willfully retained classified material. His public testimony will be held before the House Judiciary Committee, led by Republican Jim Jordan of Ohio. I'm Scott Carr in Washington.
WABC Newstime 514. Let's go out to the campaign trail, the White House 2024 campaign trail. President Biden was back on it. He spoke at a campaign event in Atlanta trying to build some momentum from his recent State of the Union address.
We see a future where we define democracy and defend it, not diminish it. We see a future where we defend the basic freedoms, not take them away.
He implored supporters in Atlanta to vote, saying, he said, our freedoms are literally on the ballot this November. That's a big theme, is making sure that Trump doesn't get back into the White House.
He enacted a $2 trillion tax cut that overwhelmingly benefited the top one half of 1% and the biggest corporations and exploded the federal deficit. He added more to the national debt in the 4 years he was there in any presidential term in history.
And of course, so much has been said about the president's age. He's 81 years old. So he's touting his age as an asset in a new campaign ad out today.
Look, I'm not a young guy. That's no secret. But here's the deal. I understand how to get things done for the American people.
The 81-year-old Biden narrates the 60-second video, which lists the administration's accomplishments. It also compares his record to that of former President Trump. The TV ad airing in battleground states, including Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Georgia. 5:15 now. Let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk. Happy Monday. Good morning, Justin Alley.
Happy Monday. Good morning to you, Noah Mullitt. And start here on the floor in the NBA. The Knicks fell at home by a low score of 79-73 to the visiting Philadelphia 76ers. Both teams flat out stunk on offense. The Sixers were able to gain a bit of an edge, though, while holding the Knicks to the lowest points total in the NBA this season. Philadelphia led 37-31 at halftime, the lowest scoring first half in an NBA game since Portland led Detroit 34-31 on March 30th, 2019, in a game the Pistons won 99-90. Philly was quite all right without stars Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey on a night the Knicks shot 32.5% from the field and 22.5% from three-point range. Jalen Brunson led the Knicks with 19 points but shot just 6 for 22. In Cleveland, Cam Thomas scored 29 points in 31 minutes. Mikal Bridges had 25 points, and the Nets pulled away to beat the injury-riddled Cavaliers 120-101 last night. Dennis Schroeder added 17 points and 8 assists, and Nick Claxton had 16 and 10 for Brooklyn, which built a 26-point lead midway through the fourth quarter. Nets only trailed for just over a minute and a half total in the game, all early in the third quarter. And the Nets are 1-2 on a six-game road trip that ends March 17th against San Antonio in Austin. Brooklyn only plays one home game between March 7th to the 27th on March 19th against New Orleans, and they're 3.5 games out of the final play-in tournament spot right now. Over to the NHL in Anaheim, where Kyle Palmieri reached a 20-goal mark for the sixth time in his career. Bo Horvat extended his goal streak to three games, and the Islanders moved into a playoff position with their sixth straight win. 6-1 rout of the Ducks last night. The Isles scored three times in the first period, including Palmieri on a breakaway about 7.5 minutes into the game. New York has outscored opponents 11-0 in the first 20 minutes during its winning streak, getting off to hot starts here. The top line of Horvat, Nelson, and Barzal combined for 6 points as the Isles moved into the Eastern Conference's second and final wild card after being 7 points back 2 weeks ago. Tonight on the ice, the Rangers and Devils return to action in a head-to-head matchup set for a 7 p.m. puck drop at the Garden. Last but not least, some NFL offseason activity to touch on quickly from yesterday. 9-time Pro Bowl quarterback and 1-time Super Bowl champion Russell Wilson plans to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers, according to league sources. He'll sign a team-friendly 1-year deal. The Denver Broncos will wind up paying $38 million of that salary while he plays in Pittsburgh. So the Steelers essentially getting him for free. In Tampa, the Buccaneers and quarterback Baker Mayfield agreed to a 3-year deal for $100 million in total and $50 million guaranteed, sources revealed yesterday. So Mayfield gets a bag after a great comeback year last year. And lastly, in Philadelphia, 6-time Pro Bowl Philadelphia Eagles defensive tackle Fletcher Cox announced yesterday that he is retiring from the NFL. He follows in the footsteps of longtime Eagles center Jason Kelsey, who, of course, announced his retirement earlier last week. That is your Sports Gnome, and I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
WABC News Time 519, Alabama Republican Senator Katie Britt. You may not have known her before she did the response to the State of the Union last week. Britt shared a story at the time of a young woman she met who was a victim of human trafficking between 2004 and 2008, using the woman's experience to attack Biden. Well, now she says she realizes that Biden wasn't president at the time.
She is a victims' right advocate who is telling this is what drug cartels are doing. This is how they're profiting off of women. And it is disgusting. And so I am hopeful that it brings some light to it, and we can actually do something about human trafficking, and that's what the media actually decides to cover.
Britt says while the incident did not happen under Biden's watch, it's emblematic of his current border policy. No surprise SNL had a good time with her over the weekend after that State of the Union response. It was Scarlett Johansson who played her in the cold open on Saturday Night Live.
I'm worried about the future of our children, and this is why I've invited you into this strange, empty kitchen. Because Republicans wanted me to appeal to woman voters, and women love kitchen.
She got a lot of heat, Katie Britt did, but Republicans, a lot of them defending her, said that she did a great job in that response. The Republican National Committee voting over the weekend to make Michael Whatley its new chair. Lara Trump will be its co-chair. Earlier this week, the RNC declared Trump its presumptive nominee for the 2024 election.
I am going to ask you to join me as recognizing President Trump as our nominee and the next president of the United States. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
This comes after Ronna McDaniel stepped down from her role as chair on Friday. President Biden says Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is hurting Israel more than helping it.
He made those comments Saturday while appearing on MSNBC. Biden said Netanyahu has a right to defend Israel, but that he must pay more attention to the innocent lives being lost as a consequence. His remarks come the same day that the U.S. conducted another humanitarian aid drop into Gaza. For the last few months, Biden has been calling on Israel to do more to protect civilians and allow aid into Gaza, where over 30,000 Palestinians have been killed. I'm Chris Caraccio.
Democrats trying to shore up support among liberal Democrats ahead of the election, many upset with the policy in Israel, the U.S.'s stance on the policy in Israel. And so you had all these senators and lawmakers taking to the news shows over the weekend. One of them, Senator Raphael Warnock, of course, from Georgia, says the situation in Gaza is catastrophic, a human nightmare.
We've seen some 30,000 Gazans already killed, many of them innocent men, women, and children.
So Warnock was talking about caring for his son who is sick with a severe cough, and then thinking about parents in Gaza who are caring for their children.
I hope that as we get closer to the holy season of Ramadan, and the season of Passover shortly thereafter. We will dig deep into the cisterns of faith and conscience that inform us from our various faith traditions and find our way to peace.
Yeah, it's clear the Democrats are worried about the support on the very left side of the Democratic Party, and not so much that it would go to Donald Trump, more so that it might go to a third-party candidate or worse, people just sit on their hands and not vote at all. So you had Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders out over the weekend, too, urging progressives to back President Biden despite their objections to his approach to the Israel-Hamas war.
If you believe that climate change is real, you got to vote for President Biden. If you believe that women have a right to control their own bodies, you got to vote for President Biden.
Yes, as Andrew's saying, the contrast between Biden and Trump is day and night for Democrats.
We are looking at the possibility of hundreds of thousands of children starving to death. The United States of America cannot be complicit in this mass slaughter of children.
But he's still asking Democrats to reelect Joe Biden. And then you had House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries telling black voters that they need to turn out for Joe Biden in November. You've seen some support from the black community go towards Donald Trump over the last 6 months or so.
Joe Biden has a vision for the future of an inclusive economy that grows the middle class and ensures things like home ownership within the African-American community can continue to grow.
WABC Newstime 524. The U.S. now urging Americans in Russia to leave, saying extremists have imminent plans for an attack.
The U.S. Embassy in Russia posted the warning on its website. It warned that extremists plan to target large gatherings in Moscow, including concerts. U.S. allies, including the U.K., Canada, and South Korea, have echoed the warnings from the U.S. and have told their citizens to avoid travel to Russia. The warning from the U.S. came hours after Russia's Federal Security Service said it stopped a planned shooting at a synagogue. It's not clear if the two are connected. I'm Brian Shook.
And the U.S. Embassy evacuating non-essential staff members from Haiti now as gang violence grips the Caribbean nation. NBC's Marissa Parra has more.
An evacuation amid a country in chaos. A U.S. military operation airlifting non-essential embassy employees out of Haiti. A move approved by President Biden, who a U.S. official says remains deeply concerned.
U.S. Southern Command says American military forces are assisting the operation, helping provide security at the request of the State Department. Families of diplomats and others are reportedly being airlifted out of the capital city of Port-au-Prince to safety.
The UN reporting 5.5 million people, almost half the entire country's population, are in need of humanitarian aid. Years of political violence came to a boiling point last weekend when gangs attacked the capital, Port-au-Prince, and set free thousands of violent criminals.
Yeah, and we're watching as people are being airlifted even out this morning. Job growth, we found out over the weekend, rose more than expected in February. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says it's all a positive sign.
We're seeing very strong job growth. A year or so ago, who would have expected that we could be averaging over 250,000 new jobs a month and yet seeing inflation come down?
Labor Department says 275,000 jobs added to the U.S. economy last month. The unemployment rate rose 0.2% to nearly 4% in February.
275,000 jobs in February, signaling a strong labor market.
Didn't do much to the numbers on Friday, though. The opening bell, it rings this morning on Wall Street after the week ended on a lower note Friday. Stocks fell, with the tech-heavy Nasdaq losing more than 1% as a rally in NVIDIA shares just lost steam. Mixed February jobs data added to the market uncertainty after a volatile week. At the closing bell, the Dow lost 68 points. S&P 500 fell 33. The Nasdaq dropped 188 points.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
Talking the News with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me, 533. Good morning. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Mix of sun and clouds today, but the story is going to be the wind. Wind gusts could be as high as 40 miles per hour today, the high 51. Tonight and overnight, clear, low 41. And then Tuesday, boy, begins a day, a set of days where it's just going to be really spring-like. Sunshine tomorrow, high 63. If you're walking out the door with us right now, so happy you are. 33, partly cloudy in Muncie up in Rockland County. 34 and partly cloudy in Wanacue down in New Jersey. And it is 36 and overcast here in Midtown. We'll start this half hour right here in the city. The fallout continues with the FDNY. Maybe you followed the story last week. They were having a ceremony in Brooklyn, and they had invited Attorney General Letitia James to speak. And when she got up to speak, some of the firefighters there who were unhappy with the way she has treated Donald Trump began to boo her. Now, some of this people were upset because it was taking place in a church. Other people were just upset that they were booing the attorney general. If you didn't hear it, this is what it sounded like.
I want to thank Commissioner Kavanaugh and Chief Hodgins for that recognition.
So you can hear the firefighters, some of them yelling, Trump, Trump, Trump. This is all after a New York judge imposed that $364 million in penalties in the civil fraud trial against former President Trump last month, accusing him of a scheme to dupe banks. And he lost that case. And these firefighters upset with her because it was the attorney general who brought that case. So she tried to go on amid those Trump chants. You can hear the boos.
Oh, come on. We're in a house of God. Simmer down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for getting it out of your system.
Now, it was interesting. This was a piece of audio from that event that I had not heard before. So one of the reasons they invited her is she had had this interaction with firefighters a number recently with her mother.
Pray for those firefighters who stood with me when my mother was dying and they worked on her for an hour in my house, not knowing who I was. And I thank them. Some may even be here. Some might even be booing me.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I pray for them.
And the boos continued. So over the weekend, the fire commissioner, Commissioner Kavanaugh, went on TV to apologize for the firefighters for booing the attorney general inside that church. She thought it wasn't appropriate. She actually then went to the Christian Cultural Center where this ceremony had taken place to apologize to the parishioners there.
We disappointed this church that has given us so much over the years. We have decades of training and discipline that none of us want to see tarnished by the unprofessional behavior of a few.
So we were told over the weekend there might be fallout for the firefighters who booed Letitia James, that they were searching for her. She is reassuring us that nothing will happen to those firefighters, but she says she's embarrassed that that happened in a church and that they were booing the attorney general. And she says she hopes it doesn't happen again. And that's why she was in the Christian Cultural Center over the weekend apologizing. WABC News Time 538. Police patrols increasing at local mosques across the tri-state. Month of Ramadan beginning. Leaders at the Islamic Center in Melville say they've seen an increase in police patrols. You'll remember just a couple of weeks ago, this total creep showed up at that mosque. It was harassing people, and they did take him away and arrested him. So they've increased police patrols there. And this all of this connected to the Israel-Hamas conflict as well. There's fears something might happen. So you'll see police at mosques and over the next couple of weeks.
They feel safe, and we really appreciate that. We have both the county police were patrolling around and the state police patrol.
Yeah, nobody should be bothering somebody while they worship. Vice President Sally Hassanein recently met with Governor Hochul, who visited the mosque following that incident. She says she's thankful for the extra police presence there.
It's also unfortunate that something that's happening abroad is affecting us here. Our religion is very special, sacred to us, and, you know, we're going to practice it no matter what happens.
Yeah, so we've been hearing from Nassau and Suffolk County Police. They say they're patrolling near Muslim schools and businesses throughout the month of Ramadan. The Church St. Francis Cabrini, that's the patron saint of immigrants. So this has become a hot tourist spot in the Bronx. Her story is now in the spotlight on the big screen as a movie depicting her life debuted this weekend. And so what happened is people saw the movie and then they wanted to go to this church. It's actually in Washington Heights, not in the Bronx. So on Sunday morning, this mass was held at St. Francis Cabrini Shrine Chapel in Washington Heights, where the stained glass and statues depict the saint. And below the altar, 80% of her body is actually preserved there. Her hands and face are molded out of wax. So I'm not sure what parts of the body are preserved past that, but she, you can see her casket at the front of the chapel. And so people who went to see the movie who were really moved by it have been showing up at this church.
I was crying the first 60 seconds of the movie. And, you know, Mother Cabrini is just so amazing.
St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, also known as Mother Cabrini, the patron saint of immigrants, traveled across the world. She did much of her work, though, in New York City in the late 1800s and early 1900s. This past Friday on International Women's Day, they released this movie, so lots of people saw it over the weekend.
Yesterday, we had probably 200 people through here simply because they had seen the movie and they wanted to find out more.
Yeah, that's just after the first weekend. So you get a sense a lot more people will be showing up there. She was an Italian immigrant herself. Mother Cabrini advocated for immigrants. Her shrine sits on the land that she bought back in 1899 in what's now Washington Heights. It housed a school for girls, and she used that tuition to fund orphanages and free schools for the poor. So she did a lot during her lifetime.
My family is Italian immigrants, so it's very, like, you know, important to me.
Yeah, that church up in the Bronx expecting to get a lot more tourists as more people see that movie. It is St. Patrick's Day come Sunday. You have lots of towns across the tri-state who hold parades in the weeks before the one here in the city. Some of it is just their own Irish pride in their small towns. Others, they do so because they know they don't want to compete with the St. Patrick's Day parade on the day of, because so many come. It's the biggest parade of the year here in New York City. So yesterday, it was the 26th annual St. Patrick's Day parade in Throgs Neck, which they claim is the biggest parade outside of the Manhattan one. Now, I don't know if that's true. I bet Staten Island might have something to say about that.
I think my hat's getting a lot of attention.
Yes. Oh, her hat said, kiss me because I'm Irish.
Just bought it today.
This is a huge event for Throgs Neck. It's a tradition that I can remember since I'm a kid.
The parade featured performances from local bands, bagpipe players.
It's just a great day for the community, the neighborhood. We got to keep it going. We got to keep this community alive.
Yeah, lots of towns across tri-state. We had one in Jersey City yesterday, St. Patrick's Day parade. I think also some of the reason they hold it the week before is not to compete with New York City, because they know so many people will head into the city for the big one. The man arrested for pushing a woman onto the subway tracks in Lower Manhattan over the weekend faced a judge last night. 35-year-old Christian Valdez charged in the attempted murder of his girlfriend after he shoved her, or I should say allegedly, in front of an oncoming train at the Fulton Street station on Saturday morning. The two apparently have been having an argument. She fell onto the tracks and in the process was run over by the trains and had both of her feet amputated over the weekend. I mean, this is just an awful, awful story. People were at this subway station, of course, shocked in the same way I am.
Oh my gosh, I'm praying for her.
When is it going to stop, you know? It's ridiculous. Where is the safety? Where is the protection? Where is the tax money going to?
Yeah, so lots of people asking, hey, we heard Governor Hochul was flooding the subways with members of the National Guard and state police, wanted to know where those people are. Valdez was out on parole after going to prison for other violent crimes, but he is not one of the repeat offenders the governor's been talking about protecting from the public. But maybe he should have been after handling, pushing his own girlfriend in the way of a subway over the weekend.
I want to make sure that people have a strong sense of safety, because otherwise they will not go on.
That was the governor talking about why she's flooding the subway system with state police and the National Guard.
That fear factor has come back. These high profile stories, they send a chill down people's spine when they're deciding whether to take the subway. That has to end.
Valdez is described as someone with mental health issues, but his violent history is not in the subways. So he wouldn't have been banned from the subways. He's done a lot of other awful stuff in this latest one, pushing the girlfriend in front of the subway. That should, you would hope, throw him behind bars for a long time to come. 5:45, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk where we find Justin Ellick.
Thank you, Noam Layden. Sorry, I was just clearing out a little belch there.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. Especially at 5:45 in the morning. Starting on the floor here in the NBA, the Knicks fell at home by a low score of 79-73 to the visiting Philadelphia 76ers. Both teams really flat out just stunk on offense. The Sixers were able to gain a bit of an edge, though. We'll hold the Knicks to the lowest points total in the NBA this season. Philadelphia led 37-31 at halftime. It's like a college score. The lowest scoring first half in an NBA game since Portland led Detroit 34-31 on March 30th, 2019 in a game. The Pistons won 99-90. Philadelphia was quite all right without stars Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. On a night, the Knicks shot 32.5% from the field and 22.5% from three-point range. Jalen Brunson led the Knicks with 19 points, but just shot 6 for 22. In Cleveland, Cam Thomas scored 29 in 31 minutes. Mikal Bridges had 25 points, and the Nets pulled away to beat the injury-riddled Cavaliers 120-101 last night. Dennis Schroeder added 17 points and 8 assists, and Nick Claxton had 16 and 10 for Brooklyn, which built a 26-point lead midway through the fourth quarter. The Nets only trailed for just over a minute and a half total in the game, all coming early in the third quarter. Nets are 1-2 on a six-game trip. That ends March 17th against San Antonio and Austin. Brooklyn only plays one home game between March 7th and the 27th on March 19th against NOLA, and they're 3.5 games out of the final play-in tournament spot. Over to the NHL in Anaheim, where Kyle Palmieri reached a 20-goal mark for the sixth time in his career. Bo Horvat extended his goal streak to three games, and the Islanders moved into playoff contention, or a position, I should say, with their sixth straight win, a 6-1 rout of the Ducks last night. The Isles scored three times in the first period, including Palmieri on a breakaway about 7.5 minutes into the game. New York has outscored opponents 11-0 in the first 20 minutes during their winning streak. Top line of Horvat, Nelson, and Barzal combined for 6 points as the Isles moved into the Eastern Conference's second and final wild card after being 7 points back 2 weeks ago. Quite a surge. Tonight on the ice, the Rangers and Devils return to action in a head-to-head matchup set for a 7 p.m. puck drop at the Garden. And last but not least, some NFL offseason activity to touch on quickly. From yesterday, 9-time Pro Bowl quarterback and 1-time Super Bowl champion Russell Wilson plans to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers, according to league sources. Wilson will sign a team-friendly 1-year deal in the Denver Broncos, who told him last week he'd be released, will wind up paying $38 million of that salary while he plays in a Pittsburgh. In Tampa, the Buccaneers and quarterback Baker Mayfield agreed to a 3-year deal for $100 million in total and $50 million guaranteed. Sources did reveal yesterday, so Mayfield gets a bag after a bounce back year. And out in Philadelphia, the end of an era continues for the Eagles as 6-time Pro Bowl Philadelphia Eagles defensive tackle Fletcher Cox announced yesterday that he is retiring from the NFL. He follows in the footsteps of longtime Eagles center Jason Kelce, who announced his retirement earlier last week. That's your Sports Gnome, and I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
Let's catch you up on some of the bigger stories of the morning. The big story weather-wise is going to be the wind today. It's going to be pretty intense. National Weather Service has issued a high wind advisory for the tri-state all day today. It's in effect until 11 o'clock tonight. Winds will be up to 20 to 35 miles per hour, and gusts could be as high as 60 miles per hour.
Dressing warmly and making sure everything is nailed down, like my trash can and garbage or any tools that are outside. I'm like, yeah, making sure it's put away.
Yeah, so if you haven't done so, you definitely want to put stuff that could fly away down. As I drove in this morning, there were trash cans all over the streets. You know, people had just flew out of their front yard. So it's going to be one of those days where you got to hold on to the hat and make sure everything's tied down on a porch, patio, or your backyard. Over the weekend, on Friday, George Santos stopped by here to talk to his Sid on Sid and Friends in the morning and says he's going to try to primary fellow Republican Nick LaLota. And there was a lot of reaction to this over the weekend. If you missed the interview, here was George Santos saying why he wants to go after Nick LaLota.
Definitely challenging Nick LaLota. Next week, my campaign revs up and we're going to give him hell, because when you compare my record to his, he is a Democrat in disguise.
Now, George Santos has a lot of reasons to dislike Nick LaLota. Besides his politics, it was Nick LaLota and other Republicans on Long Island that led the charge to get George Santos expelled from Congress because of all the things he's accused of, using campaign cash on himself, lots of other charges. This was more from George Santos talking about Nick LaLota on Friday with Sid on Sid and Friends in the morning.
He is a horrible candidate. He's a horrible member. He is an establishment shill, an empty suit. He stands for nothing. He has accomplished nothing.
Republicans pushing back big time over the weekend, especially on Long Island, saying they don't want George Santos near any sort of primary. There's no way he would get an endorsement from anybody. Here's Republican, former Republican Congressman Peter King.
The man has no shame, and either he's psychotic or he's evil, or maybe both.
Yeah, so you'll remember Santos won his race in the first district until he was expelled back in December. This is a different district on Long Island. Of course, he faces this 23-count federal indictment, including charges of campaign finance fraud and identity theft. The primary for this race is June 25th. George Santos's trial, assuming he doesn't plea, would begin in September. So, well, it's awfully interesting. We'll see if he actually does follow through with this. A man in custody after he was caught trying to enter the U.S. Capitol building with a hammer.
U.S. Capitol Police say Christopher Snow was going through security at the visitor's center on Friday when the hammer was discovered inside his backpack. Officers say Snow attempted to grab the bag and became combative when they tried to look inside. They say there was a struggle which led to officers using a taser on Snow before arresting him. I'm Brian Shook.
We got some good news over the weekend. A Hamilton, New Jersey police officer who was shot while responding to a domestic violence incident on Friday is in stable condition, expected to recover after undergoing surgery. The man who opened fire at the Hamilton Township Police injured the officer. He was pronounced dead. So the person who shot at the officer was shot by officers, pronounced dead. A witness, or I should say somebody who lives in the neighborhood, gives us a description of what took place there on Friday.
We were laying in bed last night. We heard gunshots, and that's when the cops came. They walked in the door and said, I don't even know if they walked in the door, but they said, you know, how's everything tonight? What's going on? And that's when he had opened fire on the cop and the cops fired back at him.
So now that a police officer was involved in a shooting, the Hamilton Police Department won't give us any more information on that shooting. Now the attorney general is handling that case, and I imagine we'll get more details as the day wears on. But the good news there again, that Hamilton police officer who was shot Friday is expected to make full recovery, thank God. Thousands of people gathering in Central Park yesterday demanding the safe return of the hostages still being held by Hamas in Gaza. Sunday marked 156 days of captivity for about 130 people, including American citizens.
Bring them home now!
We never would have imagined that we would have to be here 5 months later, saying the same thing we said then, and we've said it every day since. Bring them home.
Yeah, so there was talk of a ceasefire over the last couple of days. Israel says it's ready to sign a deal, says Hamas is not on board. The Pentagon says there's no evidence the U.S. covered up the existence of UFOs. This according to a new report.
Claims of hidden programs are largely the result of circular reporting by a small group.
That's the Defense Department Press Secretary, Major General Patrick Ryder. The DOD released a 63-page report on unidentified UFOs. Its investigation says it determined that most sightings were the result of misidentification of ordinary objects and that there's nothing to this whole UFO thing. Here's Gadi Schwartz trying to get to the bottom of this UFO report.
The official word from the Pentagon, no dead alien bodies, no crashed alien craft, and no government cover-up.
There are still a number of cases under investigation, with the DOD saying they are now developing special sensor kits that they call Gremlins to send out whenever new UFO hotspots are reported.
The report's response to the UFO hype, a long list of earthly explanations, saying there was no evidence of extraterrestrials, but a small percentage of cases had potentially anomalous characteristics or concerning characteristics.
Yeah, so for the most part, they're trying to throw water on this whole idea that there are Martians or people watching us. Of course, that will not do much to tamper the people who believe there are people watching us. Did you watch the Oscars last night? Divine Joy Randolph nabbing the Best Supporting Actress Award last night.
I pray to God that I get to do this more than once. I thank you for seeing me. Have a blessed night. Thank you so much.
She won for The Holdovers, which, by the way, if you haven't seen the movie, boy, is she good in that movie, and the movie's great as well. Robert Downey Jr. snagged his first ever Oscar for Oppenheimer.
Here's my little secret. I needed this job more than it needed me. Chris knew it,
Emma made sure that she surrounded me with one of the great casts and crews of all time.
Cillian Murphy secured his first ever Oscar also for Oppenheimer, winning Best Actor. It was Robert Downey who won for Best Supporting Actor.
Chris Nolan and Emma Thomas, it's been the wildest, most exhilarating, most creatively satisfying journey you've taken me on over the last 20 years. I owe you more than I can say.
Emma Stone winning for Best Actress for her part in Poor Things.
It's not about me. It's about a team that came together to make something greater than the sum of its parts. And that is the best part about making movies.
I've heard this movie's great. I have not seen it. Oppenheimer, I thought, was great. And it won the biggest award of the night, I should say, Best Picture.
The thing that's fantastic about our jobs is that it's about collaboration. It's about teamwork. And our team was just incredible on this movie. So thank you to all of them, both cast and crew.
Oppenheimer was a three-hour movie, but it won for Best Editing. How's that possible?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.